Walmart is really figuring out this online business. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There is news today. Walmart's profits soared spring into early summer, handily beating expectations. The company also reported today that its U.S. online commerce jumped 40%. Take that, Amazon. Walmart stock is up nearly 10% at the moment. All that said, Walmart reports its costs are going up, the costs of going more digital, of raw materials, of trucking, and it is assumed of tariffs. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports on whether the company can avoid dialing up prices.
All these pressures, including increased labor costs and the rising price of food, are boxing Walmart into a corner it doesn't like to be in, says Forrester research analyst Sucharita Kadali.
Walmart works really, really hard to make sure that they are the best value. It's like it has to win on price there in order to win the customer's wallet.
If Walmart loses its rep as the spot with the rock-bottom prices, it risks losing market share, much of it, to Amazon. Bloomberg intelligence analyst Jen Bartashis expects Walmart will be forced to raise prices, and it's probably going to be a little sneaky.
A package of Oreos may no longer be 15 ounces. It may become 13 ounces and still sell for the same price.
Bartashis says those types of price adjustments may be coming across the entire retail sector. She says certain items, like milk and butter, will never get too high at Walmart, no matter what, because those prices signal to consumers whether or not they'll get a good deal. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Is it possible the U.S. housing market, while still strong, is cresting? That's good and bad, depending on where you stand in the vast real estate chain. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning.
The story had been, actually still is, it's hard to find an affordable place to live. But you're noticing some interesting trends as we start to edge out of the summer here. What, some foreign buyers might be selling?
Yes, we've actually seen foreign buyers have slowed down quite a bit on their purchases, particularly in the big cities where they had pushed up prices quite rapidly. China, Russia, they've all pulled back, and those are buyers that oftentimes didn't even live in the apartments they bought. And so this is something that could be a silver lining for younger people looking for something out there because they're not having to compete with some very wealthy buyers now. On the other side of it, the overall housing market has been cresting, and one of the things we're very concerned about is that's at the same time that household formation has picked up. So demand is still out there, but it's still too expensive for a lot of people to buy. You had higher interest rates, escalating costs on things like steel, lumber, all related to tariffs.
Household formation, what? Hey, let's get married. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. We're now finding those millennials who have deferred and delayed are finally hoping to get into their first home and forming households much later than other generations. This has been a trend for some years now. And of course, the housing crisis and the Great Recession itself caused a lot of people to wait much, much longer than we'd seen in previous generations.
Always good to talk to Diane Swonk. She's the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Diane, thank you.
Thank you.
Indeed, housing starts today. Groundbreaking on new construction came in below forecasts, inching up by less than 1% June to July. James in Bridgewater, New Jersey, wrote to express his appreciation for the way that Marketplace presents business and economic news at the everyman and everywoman level and offers insights not provided by other news outlets. Now, if you agree with James, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to James and everyone who makes our work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Orlando is the first U.S. airport to require facial scans of international passengers going and coming. The stated aim of the program, introduced by U.S. Customs and Border Protection, is to reduce passenger wait times and to tighten security. Marketplace's Renata Sago reports from Orlando International, the 11th busiest airport in the country.
All passengers seated in Group 1, you're welcome to board at this time. This British Airways flight leaves Orlando for London twice a day, carrying about 250 passengers. Gate attendant Suad Amajadi says it usually takes 45 minutes to get everyone on the plane, but facial scan technology cuts the number of minutes to
maybe 20 to 25 max.
Passengers line up and inch toward what looks like a futuristic subway turnstile.
Step on the yellow footprint and just look directly at the camera for me. Perfect.
The camera uses biometrics, basically measurements of facial features, to match a passenger's image with their passport photo. Then a few seconds later, the data is recorded and the passenger can board. Amajadi says it helps the airlines.
We get less penalized for delays.
Orlando International Airport began testing facial scan technology in January as part of a pilot program with U.S. Customs and Border Protection. John Newsom is spokesman for the Greater Orlando Aviation Authority.
There is a congressional mandate that all international passengers be positively identified using biometrics.
Orlando International paid $4 million to adopt the program. Peter Swire teaches business at Georgia Tech. He says it may seem like a good idea from a security standpoint, but
there's a range of privacy and security concerns.
Customs and Border Protection says its facial technology has a more than 97% accuracy rate. But other government tests of more than 35 facial recognition algorithms showed accuracy rates varied depending on the race and gender of the person being scanned. That aside, Swire's also concerned officials
could change the rules and start using these pictures for a much broader range of things.
Nine other airports across the country are in the process of testing out facial scan technology. Douglas Kidd runs the National Association of Airline Passengers. He says the government may end up buying the technology.
But we, the passenger, pay for it.
Through taxes, airport fees, or additional charges. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
And there had been reports that securities regulators were looking into the Tesla CEO's tweets last week that he had, quote, funding secured if he wants to take the electric car company off the public stock market. Now that story is more concrete, with word in the Wall Street Journal that the Securities and Exchange Commission has sent subpoenas to Tesla and its board asking for more info about this. Among other things, the SEC would want to know if funding secured meant funding secured as opposed to funding secured, kind of. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.